Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that in his abode, the spiritual world, there is no need for sun or moon or electricity. Wherever there's a need for sun or moon or electricity, there will be anxiety. That's why his abode is Vaikuntha. But I think I'm trying to philosophically give a lesson to what just happened. Should I try? There is sambhog and vipralamba. There is union and separation. And separation actually increases the experience of love and happiness when there is reunion. And when we take that divine principle and reflect it within this world, it is said, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That sometimes we don't understand the value of something or someone until we lose them. It's human nature to take things for granted. But when something's taken away, then we understand how valuable it is. So we've been sitting here and talking and thinking and speaking and so many hours, but we're not thinking, oh, how nice that by Krishna's grace we have, by Sri Radharani's grace, we're in Vrindavan and we have this electricity where we could actually hear. Yes? We take it for granted, but then it's taken away. And now we understand the value of having a sound system to hear. So it's very nice. So I got off the airplane. And met with Stoka Krishna Prabhu. On Advaitacharya's appearance day. A very, very holy day in January. Stoka Krishna Prabhu was going through the very last stages. The night before, or it was maybe I saw that he was going, and he was fully conscious. And I said, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, I believe Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are waiting for you at the other side of that doorway. And he said, I'm ready to go. And he was smiling. He said, I know that they're waiting for me, and I could feel them waiting for me. And I have no attachments in this world. I'm ready. And he was so sincere and so humble and so simple. The next day, I was chanting at his bedside with him. But I was up most of the night, so I was really tired. So I decided to go to my room to rest for a few minutes. So as soon as I laid on the straw mat on the floor, somebody knocked on my door. I was thinking, oh, who is this? So I opened the door, and these devotees, I don't know who they were. They said, we just came from Vrindavan, and we have garlands from Radha Govinda Temple. And Radha Shyam Sundar, and Krishna Balaram, and from Radha Raman, And we have water from Radha Kund and Yamuna and Govinda Kund, and they were giving me all these things and just piles of garlands and all these different little vessels of water. So I went to Stoka Krishna, he's laying there, and I put all the garlands on him and sprinkled all the water on him and put all tulsi leaves from all different places, Seva Kunj and Niduban and the lotus feet of all the deities of Vrindavan, I put it on him, and the kirtan's going on. And then I went in my room and laid down. So I got up. I opened the door. Somebody had just come from Govardhan. And they had the garlands and the tulsi leaves from Raghunath Das Goswami's samadhi and dust from Govardhan Hill. So I went in and sprinkled it all on Stoka Krishna, and he's just laying there like this. And I went in again to my room to try to get a few minutes rest. I opened the door. It's Madan Mohan Brijabasi. And I just was with him when he was singing for Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj just before he left. And I thought, this is such a blessing. I said, would you like to sing kirtan for Stoka Krishna Prabhu? Yes. He doesn't speak English, but he was just, he could do kirtan day, night, anytime. So he sat and he was playing a harmonium and he was singing and everyone was chanting and I was sitting at the bedside and Stoka Krishna was covered with garlands and tulsi leaves and chandan from all the holy places. And that's how he left this world. Now Madan Mohan Brijabasi, his favorite song. It's a beautiful Brijabasi song, where he's singing about how his greatest prayer in life is to sweep Sri Radharani's palace, to sweep the steps of Sri Radharani's home, to sweep the forest pathways of Gabarvan and Barsana and Sri Vrindavan. This is the prayer. Let this be my only desire, just to sweep the pathways and the steps for Sri Sri Radha Krishna in their abode. And he sang this for so many years. He was 83 years old. He was living at Man Mandir. And every day, as far as I understand, even though he was such a famous singer, such a great, great saintly person, he would spend over 2 hours all alone just sweeping the steps that leading to Radharani and Krishna's temple. Sweep all the way from the top to the bottom, sweeping. Nobody noticed him. Nobody cared about him. He would just be blissfully sweeping and singing these songs. And the day before Sarat Purnima, he was all alone, sweeping the steps to Shishi Radha Govindi's temple. And Sri Radharani took his life. What he sang his whole life, and what he gave his life to, was his final moment while sweeping the steps of Sri Radha's temple. He passed from the world. Just yesterday, we went to his family's home for the 12-day ceremony and how we were remembering him. But this is how we appreciate Vrindavan. To be a sweeper in Vrindavan is such a blessing. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji saw some sweet little Brijavasi people sweeping. And as they were sweeping, they were covered with the dust that they were sweeping. And he said, these are the most fortunate people in all of creation. You are wealthy. Every particle of that dust is Chintamani. It's priceless. And you are covered with the dust. And one time a person bowed down, did his dandavats to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and started taking the dust off him. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji said, what are you doing? Do you know it has taken you millions of births to have the opportunity to be touched by that dust? And you're so recklessly just wiping it off you? This is appreciation. Shamananda. Earlier in his life, his guru, Hriday Chaitanya, from Ambika Kalna in Bengal, gave him the name Duki Krishna. And he was a great scholar. He came to live in Vrindavan about 450 years ago. His guru was Hriday Chaitanya. But his Shiksha Guru was Jiva Goswami. He was studying at the Radha Damodar Temple, and his classmates were Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur. Shamananda Goswami was such a pure, enlightened Acharya. Later on, he was to have tens and thousands of followers. He was a great scholar of the Vedanta and the scriptures. He was perfect in every way. But every day, for many hours, his seva was just to be on his hands and knees with one of those little Brijavasi brooms. There's no handles. They just take some straw, you have seen, and just wrap something around the top and get on their knees and sweep. And in those days, there was no pavement. He would be sweeping Niduban. That whole area, Sevakun, it was just dusty paths. Be sweeping, on his knees sweeping. You see, there's jnana and there's vijnana. We can study scriptures. We could memorize slokas. We could memorize philosophy. We could be trained to defeat all opposition to what we believe. But none of that indicates any realization. Vijnan, realization of the knowledge we learn, comes through the humility of our service. One of the greatest, most worshipable acharyas to this day was teaching us how to appreciate Vrindavan with such love, with such gratitude. He would sweep the pathways practically all day, every day. And because he was so grateful to be doing this seva in this holy place, feeling himself so undeserving, that Krishna reciprocated. One day when he was sweeping, he found a beautiful, what is it, a bangle? Ankle bell, ankle bracelet. He found a beautiful little ankle bracelet. And when he saw it, something happened in his heart where he understood this is very special. Srimati Radha Rani, she put that, she was performing her Leela dancing with Krishna. And just for Shyamananda, it fell off. And Lalita Sakhi, Sri Radha's original expansion and closest friend, she disguised herself and went to Shyamananda and said, did you see an ankle bracelet here? I'm looking for it. My dear friend has lost it. And Shyamananda said, I will only give it to your friend. So she said, come with me. And there's prakata and aprakata. Prakata, aprakata. Vrindavan. There's the manifest and the unmanifest. In the unmanifest, it's the Leela of the Lord that is beyond our material vision. That is the inner substance of Vrindavan, the reality. Lalita Sakhi brought Shyam Duki Krishna into the inner realm of the aprakata Vrindavan. And Duki Krishna realized that now he had the form of a gopi, and his name was Kanaka Manjari. And Lalita Sakhi brought this little gopi to Srimati Radharani, and he presented the ankle bracelet to Radha. And Sri Radha took that ankle bracelet and pushed it on his forehead and made a tilak, very special tilak, and gave him the name Shyamananda, which means one who gives great pleasure to Sri Radha, whose name is Shyama. And also gave her a deity of Krishna named Shyamasundar. And if you go to the Radha Shyamasundar temple, you'll see the original smaller deity of Shyamasundar that was given by Sri Radharani to Shyamananda Goswami. And then he came back into his form again as Shama, as in this world. And now his name was Shyamananda, and he had this tilak on. And he continued sweeping the dusty pathways of Vrindavan. The rest of the story is very, very beautiful. But what we want to understand from what we have just spoken, because he valued, he appreciated, he was so humble and grateful for the opportunity to sweep the pathways of Vrindavan. He received that darshan. He accessed that grace. We cannot imitate him. But in whatever we're doing, there is no service that's great or small. Any devotional service to the Lord. Let us speak one more story of sweeping, and then we do have to end. Till tomorrow. Narottam Das Thakur. He was the son of a zamindar, a great king. A landowner who had massive wealth. And he left everything with nothing to come to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing him crying for him, appeared in a vision to Narottam Das Thakur and told him that you go to Vrindavan and Lokanath Goswami will be your guru. When Narottam Das Thakur came, Lokanath Goswami was in such a state because Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami had recently left this world. And his beloved, dearmost friend and Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had left the world. And Swarup Damodar Goswami and all of his dearmost, they had all left the world. So he was in a state of such deep separation as he offered worship or seva to Radha Vinod, his worshipable deity. And Narottam very humbly approached him and prayed, please accept me as your servant. Lokanath Goswami said, in my life I have never initiated anyone. And I have no intention to do so. I'm feeling so much love in separation, I can hardly even live. How can I start a new life of being a guru? It's not possible. But Narottam Das Thakur, he wanted to serve his guru. Initiate or not, he understood the value of seva. But Lokanath Goswami was so humble, he would not allow anyone to do anything for him. Thakur Narottam, early in the morning, would go to the place in the forest where Lokanath Goswami would respond to the call of nature. Before he would take his morning bath in the river Yamuna. Every morning before he would come, Narottam Das Thakur had a little sweeper. He would sweep the place. With his own hands, he would clean the urine and stool that were left before and sweep it and make it perfectly nice, thoroughly, meticulously beautiful. The next day, Lokanath Goswami would come. He would respond to nature's calls and bathe in the river. This was going on for weeks. And after some time, Lokanath Goswami was saying, who's doing this? Why is this place always so clean? It's just the forest, it's just dust, you know, the riverbanks, a little distance. So one morning, he went very early to that place. He hid. He was hiding behind bushes. And he saw Narottam Das Thakur with a little broom. Sweeping the dust from the riverbanks, sweeping the dust in the forest. Where there was urine and stool, he carefully removed it with his hands and swept and took water from Yamuna and sprinkled it very nicely. And as he was sweeping, with his body covered by the dust, he was weeping in love, in humility, with gratitude, as he was singing beautiful songs. Lokanath Goswami could not believe this. He came out from the bushes. Narottam, what are you doing? Why? Why are you doing this? You are a prince. You are the son of a king. You're a great scholar. You're a saint. Why? Why are you on your hands and knees cleaning the stool of another person and the urine? Why are you on the ground sweeping the dust? This is not befitting of you. Narottam Das Thakur revealed the essence to all of us in his response. With tears of love and gratitude and a choked voice, he said that I have left all the treasures and the wealth and the power of the fame of this world to come here. And now, by your grace, Guru Maharaj, I have attained the ultimate fortune, the opportunity to render humble, menial service for you. This is how he valued seva. This is how he valued the simplest, most menial form of seva, sweeping a sewage area. He was not seeing it as a sewage area. He was seeing it as Vrindavan. He was seeing it as Vaishnav seva. At that time, Lokanath Goswami's heart changed. He said, yes, I will initiate you. We have come to Sri Vrindavan Dham following in the footsteps of these great souls. Let this be our meditation. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they were multi-billionaires by today's standards. They were the prime minister and finance minister of an entire kingdom. They had palaces, jeweled ornaments, the best of clothes, the best of foods. They had incredible power, popularity. They escaped it. Sanatan Goswami was willing to be persecuted and imprisoned with the hope of coming to Vrindavan. And when they came here, they slept in the dust, under a different tree every night. What was their gratitude? What was their appreciation? They were not thinking, I'm sleeping in the hard, cold ground under a tree. And please understand, there were cold winters and hot summers and sometimes wet monsoons. They begged for food. They would get some wheat grain that grew in the sacred soil of Vrindavan. Add some Yamuna water, make a ball, throw it in a blazing fire, take it out, and offer it to Krishna. That's what they were eating. Begging, getting some chickpeas. Cheapest foods, sleeping on the ground. But they were in the Gopi Bhav. They were in the ultimate happiness. They were so grateful. They were seeing every tree as Krishna's kalpavrikshas. They were feeling the soil as the Chintamani Dham soil. They were grateful. This was a wealth billions of times greater than anything else that can be attained. That's how they were living. Raghunath Das Goswami . We cannot imitate them. But what was their appreciation of Vrindavan? Raghunath Das Goswami would do 2,000 pranams, dandavat pranams to the Vaishnavas every day, to Krishna and Radharani every day, to the devotees every day, 2 lakhs of chanting Hare Krishna every day. And he would do Govardhan Parikrama every day. Such value. So I will end here today with this preparation for our yatra. Inconvenience or convenience? That's all a matter of how you interpret it with your mind. Let us be grateful. And let us really try to appreciate the value of the fortune of what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Entrance into Vrindavan, we have the opportunity to make immense volumes of spiritual advancement at every moment that we're here. Let us see Vrindavan through the eyes of the scriptures and the saints. And let us be grateful to each other. Because if we don't feel gratitude toward the Vaishnavas, if we don't honor and respect the Vaishnavas, there's no possibility of entering into the mood of Vrindavan. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was living here. He gave us a glimpse. He actually spoke the words of all the great acharyas when he said that I offer my prostrated obeisances and worship the dust of the feet of every single devotee. The advanced acharyas, all the way to the new coming neophytes who are just getting inspired to follow bhakti. Anyone who is approaching Krishna, let me worship them with my heart. This was his gratitude. With this gratitude, with this appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, for the senior devotees, for our friend devotees, for the junior devotees, for each other, for every leaf, for every tree, for every monkey. If a monkey steals your glasses, understand, you could just be angry. Or you could just change your consciousness. Krishna sent that monkey because he wants me to have spiritual vision. He wants me to recognize how I actually really need to have spiritual vision. Every situation is a great opportunity to express our love for Krishna. Let that be the spirit for all of us during our yatra in Sri Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Let us dance for a few minutes, then we'll have Dhammo Dharastika.